Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I do have a message here for the players. Get comfortable being uncomfortable. The bar has been set higher than it's ever been set before.
Mulligan Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The score, that is Ben Johnson. That is the new head coach of the Chicago Bears. And we were there when he turned to the players and said that to them. Great moment, especially following what he said the day before to the staff, to everybody working at Halas Hall.
No doubt about it.
It's all about the players. You got to locker room, do everything every day, all that is beautiful.
What a whirlwind week it's been for Ben Johnson. A week ago to this morning, we're talking about the Lions likely beating the Commanders and moving on to the NFC Championship game, and what would the Bears do and who was going to be plan B. And then they lose the Commanders, a frenetic 48-hour stretch for Ben Johnson. He's introduced as the head coach of the Bears, and now you start to ponder the possibilities. Here's what we were talking about like during the break. There's so many things to like about this move in terms of the Bears. One of the things that you talk about, the head coach and setting a tone, and you're right, when he leaned over and he looked at the players and he said what he said about getting comfortable, being uncomfortable, that's all well and good because that's leadership. The play calling aspect to me is as exciting because I said to you during the break, when you have somebody who is as steeped in math as Ben Johnson is, as a mathematician, essentially, calling plays, you get the feeling that he's not a play collector as much as he's a play caller because of the importance, and there's a difference, the importance in sequencing and how you set things up and how you look at a play in the first quarter, how it might affect a play that you call in the fourth, because you can already in your mind do the math and see how, well, when we're here, this is setting this up, this is setting that up. If they deploy this guy here, later on he's going to be there. It's very difficult to kind of explain on radio or without really having going through it, but it matters. Plays that you call in the first quarter set up things for later, and you know that if you've already solved the equation in your head. And Ben Johnson seems to be that guy.
You know, oftentimes the great play callers are running plays to see how the defense responds so that when they're in the same formation later in a game, they run a different play that takes advantage of how the defense is responding, mm-hmm. right? So it's like you're like setting up a grid of math. You are doing a kind of a
a math problem, and it's kind of counting the guys and where they are and how they're lined up. And I think what's interesting to me, one of the reasons this guy felt comfortable staying in the division is that he's watching all these teams.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're watching tape, you're seeing things. There's crossover stuff that you see. I just think it's fascinating that he kind of feels comfortable doing his job, play calling, with these particular defenses.
I think because he's seen the results of those equations.
Yes.
To keep the math metaphor going there. And I think when you look at, okay, to simplify it, this is kind of the way it looks when they have so many play action passes. To your point,
yes,
play action passes are so passes important. And plays
yes.
that are plays off of plays. So in the first quarter, you may run an off tackle play, but that off tackle play is setting up a third and five pass in the third quarter that looks just the same. Make the same look different, and the different look the same.
Yeah,
that's the beauty of play action passing. That's why the Lions were. I don't know where they ranked, but among the leaders.
Among the leaders in the league, they did it over 40% of the time.
And the Bears did not.
The Bears were at 19%.
So when you talk about the changes schematically in the Bears offense, that's what we're talking about.
That also stops the pass rush.
Yeah, it does. It slows things down.
It slows down the pass rush.
You got a quarterback that was sacked 68 times behind an offensive line that can't protect. Well, why can't you protect? Nobody respects your running game.
I was asking for play action during the season. I could not understand why they weren't doing more of it.
Well, I think they weren't doing more of it.
Well, I don't know that Shane Waldron did any of it.
I'm not sure that was his thing. Different guys fall in love with different ideas, which is why also what the thing to be excited about, Ben Johnson's offense is not a variation or a hand-me-down from anybody who belongs to any tree. Ben Johnson has his own authentic – that word's used a lot this week, but his offense is authentic because it's all his. You don't really have a name for it. I don't know what you would – it's not the West Coast-style offense. It's not a Shanahan-McVay-styled offense. It's not a product of anybody who gets credit for originating it. It's really Ben Johnson's own thing. It's original.
Well, we haven't seen innovation in this place for a long, long time. David, I really don't – I can't think of real innovation. I mean, I suppose during the Nagy period where you had
– Nagy had a good year in 2018.
But I mean, as you say, he's derivative of Andy Reid.
He was the West Coast style offense.
And he had collected all these plays.
He was a play collector.
And he loved running different – look at his wall. At his house, seriously.
I know,
and
he—that's my point.
Yeah, he loved that stuff.
He was celebrated, and he had success. And with due credit, he's had quite a good career.
Yes, he's been fine.
But he's more of a play collector than a play caller because the sequencing matters, and he didn't really ever grasp that. I think in Chicago, that's where the plays, the offenses seemed to stall. And he was also a guy that wasn't able to fit his scheme around the talent. He was never able to use the talent and tailor schemes around that.
The shovel pass that was in, I mean, everybody wants to talk. Dustin wants us to ask questions about why did you go with the wide receiver pass that turned out to be an interception. But the play earlier in the game where they pitched to the running back.
The double shovel.
Double shovel pass.
It's a double shovel. It's ingenious.
And I got to tell you, I don't know how long they practiced that or how good but Tom Brady said, I've never seen that.
I've never seen that before. And yet, in different ways, he has. See, that's the thing about watching tape and grinding tape. And when you watch so much tape, you see things that you imagine, how can I choreograph what just happened? It may have been a variation of a play where a guy was running one way and he lateraled to somebody, and who knows how the brain works. But we go back to the stumble bum.
He saw it.
The stumble bum was born out of a fumbled snap, a drop shotgun snap. Everyone froze, and Ben Johnson saw Jordan Love do that, and the guy was wide open against the Bears, and he thought, how can I simulate that? How can we choreograph that? And that's what I'm talking about.
And ran it against the Bears.
It was beauty.
Yeah, it was.
It was a thing of beauty.
Well done.
So this is the innovation that you get excited about Ben Johnson bringing to Chicago. The talent is what he was saying is already there. You need to rebuild the offensive line. You've got the weapons on the perimeter. I think he feels like, and he has said, he's okay with the running backs. He likes the running backs.
Yeah, I know.
I don't. I'm not crazy either.
Yeah.
But you got the quarterback, and when you have a guy like Caleb Williams, you feel like anything else is possible.
Yeah, I mean, if he can make the quarterback into the player that you think he's capable of being, then that would be extraordinary. And I love the way he described how you go about doing it. The idea of just grinding on tape together. All right, we got a lot of people who want to check in. Let's start with Q. Q's on the road.
Morning, Q. Morning, Q.
What's going on?
Go ahead.
Okay. I want to make the case to bring back Eberflus as DC.
Yeah, yeah, that's not going to be a good case. Yeah. Thanks for the phone call, but that's not realistic. Yeah.
No, what? I mean, again.
Dennis Allen is as close to Matt Eberflus as you can get in terms of a guy who's been an NFL lifer, a guy who's had success as a defensive coordinator, or the guy who wasn't a very good head coach.
You know, it's like there are different people sometimes on radio where you get a guy and he's getting paid through something, whatever happens. That dries up, and you no longer get the guy. And what I have learned over the years, and I was shocked to learn, is that a lot of people, if they are ever on the show and get paid for it, when the pay stops and they're not on the show, you never hear from them again. And it turns out they're mad at you. They blame you because you launched them.
Who wounded you?
When reality
Who hurt you,
is,
Mully?
But I'm just saying, the reality is the money dried up and there's no longer compensation. Hey, you want to come on? Well, no, not when I'm not getting paid. So if a guy doesn't get paid, he's happy to come on. If he is paid for a regular thing and then not paid, he'll never come on again.
So this is the Matt Eberflus connection.
This is the Matt Eberflus
thing.
Okay,
I get it now. All right.
This is what I'm saying. When you fire a coach, even if you're still paying him whatever, you can't bring him back and have him do something. He's been publicly humiliated.
It's silly to give it any airtime.
It's just not going to happen. It just doesn't happen that way.
I think what's more likely to, it's a good opportunity to remind people that Dennis Allen is a front runner. But the Bears have requested permission from the Vikings to interview Durante Jones, who is the passing game coordinator and DB coach in Minnesota, under Brian Flores. And also, Aubrey Pleasant from the Rams is in the mix. So those guys, whether it's to coach defensive backs or to be the defensive coordinator, they will be interviewed by Ben Johnson. And one of the names not on the list of the assistants that were dispatched yesterday officially, John Hoke, has not clarified, or this is unclear what his future holds. So he could still be in the mix.
I think that guy's a hell of a coach. He's been here for a couple stops. I really think he's a good defensive back coach, and I just think you could keep a guy like that. It wouldn't be a problem for me.
He's been on a lot of different staffs. He's a sage veteran. It's unclear whether or not he wants to continue coaching, but if he does, I think the Bears would be wise to bring back that kind of continuity in a secondary that is familiar with him. He coaches them hard, and they that can be a strength of this defense again.
I agree. And it should be, frankly. All right, let's get to Daryl. Daryl's on the south side. Hey, Daryl.
Top of the morning to you.
And the best of the afternoon to you, sir.
Hello?
Yep.
Yes.
Hello.
Best of the afternoon to you.
Alrighty.
Yeah, buddy. Okay.
All right. I want to talk to Ben Johnson, and I also want to talk about Billy Donovan a little bit. Ben Johnson is coming in, and I think he's going to revamp Kalen real because he set up his call plays on the talent that he has. I don't think he's coming in with a book of plays already set up. He's going to ride off what I can get out of Caleb, and that's how he's going to direct the traffic of the offense.
Right.
The defense is going to be okay. I think he's going to bring in a great coach. He's going to do his homework, and I don't think we're going to have any problems. I think it's an outstanding move. Now, I want to switch to the Bulls real quick because I am so upset with Billy Donovan. You keep talking about an identity that we don't have. And it seemed like the only identity that the Bulls have is the coach. They can start off the first two halves losing the game, or they can start off the first two halves winning the game and still lose the game. I mean, it's retarded. I don't know what's going on.
Daryl. So I think the point about Billy Donovan is interesting. They do have an identity. They're a 3-and-D team. They're a three-point shooting team that wants to play at a pace that they're not always – that it's not always conducive maybe to the roster they have.
Yes.
I don't look at this as a three-pointing – you don't see a lot of great three-pointers on the Bulls, but that is yet that's the way they play. So there's kind of a – it's incongruous the way that they want to play and the style with which they play and the roster that they have to play that style.
Very good point.
Frustrating. So that's why he's calling timeouts at the end of games and yelling at his players and complaining about a lack of – intensity or effort. So I don't know what the Bulls do next, but as we said during the pick six, they got to do something.
Sean is in Romeoville. Hey, Sean.
Good morning. First, I want to say, as a mental health professional and as someone who works with kids with special ed, I apologize if anybody felt offended by that poor choice of words from your last caller. That's just a word. I know he didn't mean any harm.
No, I know. It is, you know.
Thank you, Sean.
That's a good thing to point out.
That can be a very offensive word.
Yes.
So I apologize. But anyway, I was just going to say, I know we pound on the O-line a lot, and deservedly so, but, you know, they're not going to become the Lions' O-line overnight. But what's neat is I remember when Thomas Brown took over as O.C., you know, for the three games he did that, what I noticed was he was getting the ball out of Caleb's hand quicker, which made the O-line seem a little better. So, and I know that, you know, Ben Johnson's genius will bring that. So, I mean, I think just his innovation and understanding that, you know, hey, you're not going to turn, you know, the O-line into all-stars overnight. Hopefully they'll improve, but a focus on getting the ball out quicker and being on time, I definitely think that will help. And I'm sure Ben Johnson brings that to the table. So, man, we're in good shape looking forward, I think.
Sean, that's a great phone call because you can control and slow down a pass rush with timing routes and quick releases in the short passing game, which the Bears' version of the short passing game seemed to be like the horizontal – bubble screen to DJ Moore. And I think it would slow things down, but I don't think you were getting anywhere. You weren't going down the field vertically. You were stretching the field horizontally. That's got to change. And I think it will with Ben Johnson, who will find a more intelligent way to protect the quarterback through the passing game, the short passing game specifically.
I agree with you. I think that was a huge problem. If I'm DJ, I show up there, so the guy tells me, hey, we're going to try to throw a couple down the field. Vince is in Gurnee. Hey, Vince.
Hey, good morning, guys. So, you know, shout out to Sean on the last caller. I feel like my question is kind of an answer to his. Don't the next three picks or three, four picks, they do have to hit, you know, because Ryan Poles is – missed out on, you know, Bayless Jones. There's a couple other guys that he's brought in that have not been able to really be an impact. So don't these next couple draft picks have to be starters? Ideally, maybe not Pro Bowlers, but they do have to come in and be expected.
I mean, I think they need help in the trenches, right? Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yeah.
And I think that those picks should all be interior or, you know, anywhere.
Offensive,
on the
defensive line.
Yes.
Whatever is in the name of controlling the line of scrimmage.
But the reason that you are obsessed, or, you know, Dustin says he keeps, you know, hitting refresh. The reason that the defensive coordinator is so important is because there are different ways to skin a cat, and there are different defenses that you could run. And if you're changing the formations, if you're going from a 4-3 to a 3-4. You have different needs come draft time. You have different.
You're right. You know, that's why I would hope
they never
would avoid
got
that
three technique. They never did that.
Right.
And they're running an offense that needs one.
But he's coming from a system in Detroit which is similar to the Bears in terms of style and scheme. I would think and hope that would probably look at this roster and think, boy, if you do want to have the continuity, that, and you do believe that defensive line was affected by Andrew Billings being out and there's some pieces that you can work with, you'd want to embrace that a little bit more than hiring somebody who would bring in a new scheme would represent. That would concern me.
I agree with you. I'm just saying I'm looking at what they have, how they line it up, And I don't know what you need out of the draft until I see what the guy has run before.
Specifically, that means, I think what you're saying is that you don't
know if a guy is
an outside linebacker in a 3-4 might not be a good fit here. But an edge rusher like an Abdul Carter, he's not going to be there at 10. Yeah, but, anywhere. I mean, you know, a guy like that. But you want to control the line of scrimmage in the draft. Here's the one point I would make about the reference to Ryan Poles and drafting. Somehow, and this might be an overreaction, I'm acknowledging that from the get-go, I feel like Ryan Poles is going to draft smarter and have better evaluations when he's sitting next to Ben Johnson evaluating the talent in the draft. I think he's less likely to make another mistake because I do think that there's in college or academics, they would call it the academic updraft. You know, you're smarter because of the people you're surrounded by in your classroom or on your campus or whatever. And I do think that could exist at Hallis Hall. Everybody, typically, when you walk into Hallis Hall, you get the lesser version of that coach or that executive. I think it's becoming just the opposite. Ben Johnson is going to make everybody just a little bit smarter in the way they evaluate talent and the decisions that they make.
I mean, you know, I do not disagree, but I would caution that the guy's got a job to do. He needs to concentrate on that and do that. And him putting healing hands on everyone else in the organization might be a little bit of too much for anyone, man. But I'm good with
it. It's the Ben Johnson effect.
I like the idea. Okay. Yeah. I like that idea. We're going to be talking to him soon enough. But next, we've got the man himself. He is a handsome man. He's a beautiful human. He's Mark Grody.
Oh, can't
and
wait.
Grody time is next on Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you, George.
Go Bears.
Bears.
It's Grody time, and that means it's time for Mark Grody with Mully and Haw.
Bears.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Nothing has more energy than that one song with that one guy. It's Grody time on The Score, and
Mark
he joins us
Grody
on The Score Hotline, brought to you by Arturo. Your all-weather tire, Arturo.com. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, guys. It might be Grody time right now, but I was thinking about this. It's always, always Mully and Haw time, especially when the next head coach of the Chicago Bears is going to be on with Mully and Haw at 9 o'clock this morning.
Nice promo. You're a pro.
You are.
I got you.
You're the greatest.
You got us, Grody. You've been a busy guy this week. You've done a little bit of everything at all hours of the day. What's been your biggest impression from the week that was?
Yeah, I mean, I think still the biggest thing is the surprise of how fast everything came together, how badly Ben Johnson wanted to be here. Like, I like to say it, and it feels like this is the truth, that Ben Johnson came running to the Bears. And for at least for a hiring cycle, the Bears were able to, for now, and in this case, debunk a lot of the boogeyman stories that is the Bears front office and a lot of things that we've talked about and potential deterrence. None of that existed. It happened. He chose the Bears. Ben Johnson is here. And the Bulls pulled off the Bears pulled off a great introductory day for Ben Johnson, and everything sounded really good and really competent. And, you know, maybe it's not fair to relate one coach to another or the previous, but you guys were both at the press conference. It is night and day to hear Ben Johnson talking relative to Matt Eberflus and his coaching staff, just because I felt like after one day I had an idea of who Ben Johnson was. I don't know, even in covering Matt Eberflus every day, if I ever really knew Matt Eberflus.
That's interesting stuff. I was telling David, I'm driving in this morning, and I heard a report that Liam Cohen is going to get Ben Johnson money down in Jacksonville. And I just had a great laugh to myself. When have the Bears ever been paying someone so they're the seventh highest paid coach in the league and they never coached a game? But, you know, as David pointed out, and it's probably the argument that was used, they gave 4.5, whatever it was, to Eberflus and another $2 million to Waldron. So, you know, you basically doubled the price of both things, since this guy does both jobs.
That's a great point. And he, I like the fact that, and I don't know if it took convincing. I don't know if Kevin Warren is the one mm-hmm. who said, we must pay this man. Like, cause that's one of the things that I'm still trying to figure out in all this. Who gets a little bit of credit here for all this? Is it George McCaskey, the Bears chairman, who said we are going to do things differently? Kevin Warren, did he talk him into it? Was it Ryan Pohl saying, look, if you guys want to move into the century and get this guy, here's the way it's going to have to be. But I do like the fact that this is, no matter what happens, this is one of those times where nobody could say the Bears were cheap about the hiring of Ben Johnson.
So you're part of a Bears beat core that is very aggressive and holds people accountable and asks the right questions. And it can be very competitive, and it can be an environment that, you know, there's a lot of ground to cover, Mark. But I just wonder, this season now, after hiring Ben Johnson, doing something that a lot of people wondered if they could pull off, how do you think that changes the tone, if it does at all, about how we view the Bears? Will it change the tone of questioning? Will it change the tone or the way that you look at the decision makers? Because they apparently, when you do what you just described, go out and get the guy everybody wanted, it does change the way you view some people.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, David, but honestly, I think with each and every one of the coaches that came into the building, and I understand what you're saying, there is more cachet with this coach. This coach is different yep. than previous coaches that were hired. That I will take that completely into mind. But in terms of like changing the way that it's covered and how will Ben Johnson be covered, I think he'll be covered the way all these coaches were covered. Is like mm-hmm. it's what I will say for the Bears beats, and which I am included, as you mentioned, that the beat takes the story as it is. I mean, I think that, you know, you go back to, you know, from Mitch Trubisky and Justin Fields, the benefit of the doubt was given to those quarterbacks. And I think the beat was fair. And I think the beat was fair to Matt Nagy and to Matt Eberflus until it had to be as critical as it was. And I include myself in all of that. So I don't think it's going to be different with Ben Johnson. Honestly, like, if the Bears start having bad days in training camp and the offense doesn't look good and there's interceptions early in the sessions for the Bears and the scrimmages at the end, they're going to be like, okay, where's the Ben Johnson difference? So I love the question, Haw, but I don't think that things are going to be any different in terms of the way we cover Ben Johnson and how critical we are of him. But we will, I think there'll be a sit back and listen period to him to see what actually matches up with what the progress is on the field.
What specifically do they need to improve immediately to be able to run his offense?
Well, I guess the easy answer there, Mull, is the offensive line. I mean, that is one of the answers for sure. You know, other than Darnell Wright, there's upgrades that is upgradable at every single one of those positions. But one of the things that I was thinking about, and maybe this will come up with you guys when you talk to Ben Johnson, and that is specifically the running backs room as well. Like that, we are going to be asking these questions because we know that, you know, over and over and over we answer the questions of that Detroit offense, that defense is not coming to Chicago. But is his system good enough? And nobody wants to hear about a system or anything like that, but can he get a running system that is somewhat effective or close to as effective as what he did in Detroit? And is that a product of the offensive line? Or could he, if he gets it right, could DeAndre Swift thrive in that? So for some reason, what I've been thinking about more than anything is, offensive line, but do you have the right running backs to do what you want to do? And I know Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery are now walking through that door, but is Swift and Roschon Johnson, can you work with that? And that's something I'm curious about.
Bears made official on Thursday they would not be retaining certain assistant coaches, Chris Beatty, Thomas Brown, on defense, Eric Washington, and then the name of Chris Morgan, CMO, as you would call him, Grody.
That's right.
Was the holdover on the staff when Shane Waldron took over. Now that becomes a big job. Any surprises on the staff changes, and how were you viewing what they're pursuing at defensive coordinator?
Yeah, no, that's the next big step here. And, as far as you just mentioned the defensive coordinator spot, and I'm hearing some of those names, Durante Jones out of Minnesota, the DB's coach, and Aubrey Pleasant, the Rams passing game coordinator, is a name that's popped up for coordinator spot. The Dennis Allen thing I think is interesting because after the press conference the other day, we did a little bit more of an informal talk with Ben Johnson. Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of those. Like, so we gathered in one of the conference rooms at Hallis Hall. They were nice enough, the media relations folks, to kind of let us get to know. It was mostly on the record, to be clear, but it was interesting. You know, like, kind of recorders down, sitting around a table with him just kind of, you know, letting his guard down just a little bit in terms of talking to us. And I thought it was interesting that one of the things that he shared with us is that he, at that point, a couple days ago, he had not met Dennis Allen and had not talked to him, but he did concede that he likes the New Orleans defense. Another one of the things that he said, yes, there's a lot of great candidates, which is no big revelation. Who's not going to say that? But he said, indicated that there was lots of people reaching out that this would maybe be a difficult decision in that there's going to be so many potential candidates, which makes sense, right? He's the hot offensive coordinator. There's the Bears, it all of a sudden feels good to go to the Bears again, which I think Ben Johnson has caused. So, you know, he kind of said that he was surprised by all the candidates that were contacting him. So maybe he's just sorting through the dozens and dozens of candidates out there. I hope that's the case.
What, in your opinion, is the most important position coach to hire? Probably the offensive line coach.
I guess.
If you got a guy like Hank Fraley in here, honestly, and I know he's not coming. I know that's already reported. But that's the kind of guy that could look at someone like Kieran Amagaji and figure out whether he could play, how he could play, where he could play.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's incredibly important. And I think we're going to learn more about how much Ben Johnson knows, too, about offensive line play. But, yeah, I can't imagine that. Yeah, there's really, going through them all, you're right. I mean, that's got to be the most important spot. But I really do. Like, I want to know. When this story broke, one of the things, I was joking around with Matt Spiegel about, I don't know how much I care about the offensive coordinator. I said, bring in that Mark Helfrich type or the Bill Lazor, these guys who were.
Name only.
Yeah, exactly.
That's fine.
Exactly, huh?
That's fine.
Yes, those types of guys, like the Mark
Ben Johnson's offense. He's calling the plays.
Exactly, and he needs somebody who can do a lot of the work in practice. So Ben Johnson can do what we always implored Matt Eberflus to do, and that is to focus on the rest of the team along with the offense.
So Grody, didn't know you had this kind of private time with Ben Johnson. What are you holding out on us? What are you holding back? Share.
What's
spill.
The secret info?
Let's go.
You know what? Let me see here. I'm going.
Any nuggets?
I'm
you
looking.
Like your nuggets?
Yeah. I know you do. You can probably hear the pages turning. Let me see. Okay. Here's some things. Ready? Random notes from from that meeting. And guess what? Guess what? Check, this is perfect, guys. And after I get off the air with you guys in a little bit, we're going to record the podcast that David Haw created, that he owned, that is Take the North, that we are going to actually be playing some of the audio.
That you stole from him.
So here's just like random, completely detached stuff that he said during that I thought was interesting that I could share. Said that he confirmed, not that we didn't know this, but it was like interesting to hear it from another coach. He said, yeah, we didn't want to throw to Jalen Johnson. He said, we did not throw towards Jalen Johnson. He loves Kyler Gordon, name checked him. Let's see, what did he say? He called himself low ego, low maintenance with us when we were talking to him, which is music to
that's
our.
Appealing. The low ego part of it,
as we said,
comes through.
Yeah. And then here's another little thing right here. He said, and this might become something as time goes on, that he wants to be known more than just an offensive guru. Like, he appreciates that.
Wow.
I think.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, but I mean, that's good, right? He wants to be. That's what you want to hear if you're a Bears fan,
you know,
right?
I am very curious. We were talking earlier about how he became an offensive guru. He's not a guy that had like one mentor or one school of study or comes from Shanahan or McVay sneezed.
Coach tight ends.
Yes.
Quality control.
Yes.
Worked his way up and all of a sudden now he's the guy with his own offense.
Yes, wild.
Right.
Crazy, Grody.
Right.
Good
stuff. And actually, I don't remember if this was the conversation we had or if it was at large, but he did say, too, he said, you know what? And damn it, I was great at those jobs. So there's a nice, there's an appropriate confidence.
So he is an egomaniac.
What?
Oh, I'm joking.
It's a humble confidence. Soft spoken.
Hey, start with that at 9 o'clock. No, yeah. it was appropriately put.
Son of a.
Stop stirring it up,
Mark,
Grody.
You're the best. Thanks, thank you, Grody. Buddy.
You guys are a couple of beauts. I love you both. Talk to you later.
That's our guy, Mark Grody. I love Mark Grody. We got Joe Fortenbaugh, another one of our guys coming. Mully and Haw on the Score. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. There is no one better than our guy, Joe Fortenbaugh. There is no one, no human being.
There's no one busier.
There's no one working harder.
No one busier than Joe Fortenbaugh.
And he joins us now on The Score Hotline, brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. Joseph, I know that sounds like I'm pandering, but you know the sincerity of me as a human.
You know that he is.
Guys, I love you. I love you, but I got to be honest. I don't even know who I'm talking to anymore here. I've been coming on with you guys since 2011, and now I live in a world where the Bears spend more money than anybody else. The Bears get the highly sought-after coaching candidate. What world is this? I'm wondering, is Mitch even going to renew me for next year? This is not the Joe Fortenbaugh that 670 The Score fans have come to know and love. I don't live in this era of Ben Johnson to the Chicago Bears. I live in the era of, you know, let's make a decision and bring in Trestman, or let's bring in Eberflus. Like, this is what I'm accustomed to. I don't know how to handle this new world.
Well, Mully and I were flummoxed, Joe. You're exactly right. It's a bizarro world. We walked out of Hallis Hall the other day with nothing to complain about.
A first for everyone. I'll tell you this, though. The one thing I compared this to is what we saw last year when the Chargers hired Jim Harbaugh. Now, I'm not going to say it's the exact same comp, but the thing for the Chargers is, for years, their Achilles heel was their cheapness. They were a cheap organization. They cheaped out every time it came to hiring a head coach, and it burned them time and time again. And they finally realized, if we want to be serious, we got to do something different. And they went out and they spent the money and they got Jim Harbaugh, and things are moving in the right direction. I love the fact that after years of the way in which the Bears have handled the hiring cycle, they finally decided, look, we don't know if it's going to work, all right? None of us know if it's going to work, but we might as well take a swing at the biggest fish in the pond, and that's what they did. And at the end of the day, you got to be happy with the fact that they did something different, because the status quo wasn't working. It's a great day to be a Bears fan.
The only thing, the only pause for me, and I agree with everything you said.
There we go.
No, it's just the Bears have won the offseason before.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that scares me. I love that they did this, and I, like David, had nothing to compare it with or to get upset about. But as I did drive away from that news conference, I thought, like Mulligan, learn the lessons that you've been taught. Why are you happy about this? There's going to be another shoe that drops. But, you know, I don't know, Joe. They're trying to build a stadium. They got, like, all – they're going to be big time. The franchise is worth a fortune, but it's going to be worth even more when they get the building up.
Baby steps. We got to take our time here, okay? I understand the reason for pause. I would say this. Would you rather be Jacksonville today?
Wow.
Any idea what the hell they're doing? It's like, yeah, we'll bring back Balky despite the fact that he has a 0% approval rating. Let's bring back Balky. And then Liam Cohen is like, no, I'm not interested in working with this guy. I'm going to stay. So, like, all right, let's fire Balky. And it's like, wait a minute, what are you doing? You just missed out on two or three of the top candidates they already signed. Like, how is that a way you do business? It is shocking to me, and it always comes back to the thing Bill Walsh said years ago when the NFL had, like, 28 teams. He's like, you're not waking up in the morning competing against 27, 28 other teams, okay? You're competing against 7 or 8 teams. That's it. That's why every year when we go, oh, my God, I can't believe Kansas City's in it again. How come no one can take them out? Well, because there's, like, 10 teams you can eliminate before the season starts. Jacksonville, get them the hell out of here. Tennessee, get them the hell out of here. Like, so many of these teams, the Raiders, you think the Raiders know what they're doing? Who do they plan on hiring, right? They got no idea what's going on right now. So it's good to be a Bears fan today because you're not competing against 31 other teams. You're going out there, you compete against a small handful.
Great points, Joe. Speaking of teams who do have a clue, what about Championship Sunday? How you see that breaking down?
All right, we'll go chronologically. I am going to play the Eagles here minus the 6. Yes, yes, yes. Eagles fan, betting the Eagles. Most of you know me as a self-loathing Eagles fan. I normally bet against them. All right, so we're getting a little wild here today by betting on them. It comes down to a couple key things. This situation is unprecedented. Washington, 4th straight road game. Philadelphia, 5th straight home game. That's never happened before in the NFL. You go back to the year 2000, there have been 7 playoff teams that are playing their 4th consecutive road game or longer. You know how those teams fared? 0-7, 1-5-1 against the spread. I don't think Washington run defense is going to be able to slow down the Eagle rush offense enough. And this Eagle defense is unlike anything Washington's seen for the last month and a half of the season when they've been beating up on teams like the Saints and the Buccaneers down in Tampa, a game they should have lost. So I will go ahead. I will lay the points there. Now, on top of that, a couple props for you. On the Washington side, Zach Ertz, over 3.5 receptions, all right? Sam Cosby, the interior offensive lineman for the Commanders, is out for this game. The Eagles are going to generate pressure up the middle. Daniels is going to need to get the ball out of his hands, all right? Ertz is the security blanket. He's the guy to look for. The Eagles have gotten beat up by tight ends a little bit in the postseason so far. Ertz, over 3.5 receptions. Saquon Barkley, under 2.5 receptions. Numbers a bit inflated because he had 4 catches last week. I wouldn't expect him to be a big part of the passing game. He hasn't all season. He's only averaging about 2.8 targets per game. Not receptions, targets. And he's gone over this mark just 5 times in 18 games. So Barkley under 2.5 receptions. And then he's a bit banged up, all right? He's on the injury report. But if Dallas Goedert plays the Eagles tight end, I'd look to over 39.5 receiving yards there. Hurts is struggling to get the ball to his wide receivers, but he's been getting the ball to Hurts in the to Goddard in the postseason. And Washington just got chewed up by Sam Laporta a little bit last week. Oof. So on the Eagles side, we'll go Eagles minus 6, Hurts over 3.5 receptions, Barkley under 2.5 receptions, Dallas Goedert over 39.5 receiving yards.
Will the change of referees change the game in the AFC Championship?
You know, I put something about that up on Twitter. I love Mahomes coming out this week. Oh, the refs aren't helping us. Yeah, they are. Oh, yeah, they are. Since the Super Bowl that they lost to Brady when they were penalized 11 times for over 100 yards, they played 11 playoff games. The opponents have been penalized 30 more times for 222 more yards. In those 11 games, the Chief opponent has been penalized more times every single game except the Super Bowl last year against the Niners when both teams were penalized 6 times. I am taking the Chiefs. It's not because of the officials. It's because of Buffalo's defense. Hear me out. We've seen the Bills on the road 4 times this year against playoff teams. The Lions, the Ravens, the Rams, and the Texans. They're 1-3 in those games. They're 1-3 against the spread, and the defense is giving up 36 points per game. Kansas City's offense is coming alive a little bit late in the year with Hollywood Brown back from injury. And on top of that, look at the rest advantage. It might not seem like much. Kansas City has an extra day here. But if you go back to 2003, since then, championship weekend, home teams with a rest advantage like the Chiefs, 20-7 straight up. It means something at this point in the year. So we're going to go ahead and play the Chiefs. Favorite prop is Xavier Worthy over 3.5 rushing yards. Okay, rushing yards. The Chiefs love to get pass catchers involved in the running game when the playoffs come around. A pass catcher has had at least one rushing attempt in 20 of Kansas City's last 21 playoff games. Worthy had one last week. He averages 5 yards per carry. Get one carry, hit your average, and we go over. Noah Gray, the Kansas City tight end. Everyone's focused on Kelsey. Everyone's going to be looking at Kelsey. Don't sleep on Gray, who I believe scored a couple touchdowns in that meeting against the Bills earlier in the season. It's not a lot. It's 1.5 receptions. The receiving yards is somewhere around 12. I think he'll have favorable coverage matchups where he'll be able to hit both those numbers. So I'd look at those two, and then Josh Allen passing attempts over. It's only 31.5. If they're trailing in this game, like we talked about with the struggles they've had on the road against playoff teams, he's going to need to throw more often than we're used to seeing. This number is cheap because he's gone under in 5 straight, but the opponent is very different and the game script will be different. So we're going Chiefs -2, Xavier Worthy over 3.5 rush yards, Noah Gray over 1.5 receptions. You can go over receiving yards there as well. And then Josh Allen over 31.5 passing attempts.
You're the best, Joe. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Joe.
Love you, boys. Love you, Chicago. Go Bears!
That's our guy, Joe Formbaugh. We'll be right back on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.